Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Hope you are enjoying the new year so far. The deep state now has full control of the federal government, and the mindless basement dweller sits in the White House signing away one executive order after the next, reversing everything President Trump did to improve the economy of our country and the American worker. Rest assured that this radical Democratic Party is watching out for their self-interest as they have lied and cheated their way into office. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, describes this leftist political crowd succinctly as he states to Timothy, chapter 4 of his first letter, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." John the Revelator, in chapter 8 of his gospel, tells us what Jesus said to the lying Jews who attempted to kill him. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the father of lies. These lying Democrats who justify murdering innocent children in the womb are of their father, the devil. The Revelator tells us in his book, The Revelation, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No disputing that. So all you ungodly believers who applaud this wickedness, your day of trial is coming, and fiery judgment shall be upon you unless you repent now before it is eternally too late. The Apostle Paul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and cautiously led by the Spirit, gives us more insight into who this wicked crowd is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All I can say to you who love wickedness and the systemic destruction of our constitutional Christian republic is repent, repent, and repent. Turn from your wicked ways and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him and in his word, the Holy Bible. The following message this morning is entitled, Jesus Walked on Water. Should Peter have? Jesus walking on water is mentioned in three of the Gospels, but Peter's noticeably short walk on the water is mentioned in only one Gospel. Why is that? And let me point out to you who have heard from the pulpit that the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the Gospel for the churches today, but only Paul's epistles are the Gospel for the Gentile churches. You have been gravely deceived. Don't believe it for one minute. So what is the embedded message of Peter getting out of the boat in the story found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34? There may be a lot of Sunday morning sermons praising Peter for having the faith to get out of the boat, but Jesus did not praise Peter. He said, O thou of little faith! Why didn't the other Gospel authors point this out about Peter getting out of the boat? The message you are about to hear will be very new to your ears. I was a young preacher boy at a preacher's conference in Ohio when I first heard a preacher preach this message in this context. Never have I heard it preached this way again. Listen, learn, and be intrigued with the Lord's lesson in this event of 2,000 years ago. And again, let's get inoculated this new year, 2021, with the power of the Holy Ghost, and let us be led according to his instruction, not the world's. Don't be a guinea pig for Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Big Pharma. And let's throw in the CDC and the World Health Organization for good measure. Jesus walked on water, should Peter have? Part 5. So the ark and the ship are the life raft to bring the weary safely to the opposite shore. What's the expression? We say, don't bail ship, right? Don't jump ship. We use that expression. It's good to stay with the ship until it absolutely sinks, because it can be a life source of life, because it's a lot easier to find a ship out at sea that's stranded than to find you bobbing in the water with a life jacket or not a life jacket. Much easier to find you with the boat. So it says stay with the ship until the very last second. But the ark and the ship are the life raft to bring the weary safely to the opposite shore. It pictures the church. Here it is. It pictures the church, the body of Christ. Okay, Colossians tells us that the church is the body of Christ as a life raft for believers to take them safely to the other shore, though the seas may be rough. Let us consider, the scriptures tell us here, you're at the end of page 4, beginning of page 5, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see that day approaching. He's telling us, as you see the day approaching for the return of Christ, it's going to get stormy. Is it getting stormy? Have we had a whole year of storminess? Is there a lot of storminess this week, possibly? Greg's shaking his head, saying yes. Maybe you need to find some barrels of pickles. Get ready. Get your food stocked up. Stock up on food. You can still use that toilet paper you bought last summer, you know, I'm sure you bought 2 years worth, 3 years. But the storm, stay with the boat. There's so much more in here. Top of page 5, the church is not some flim-flam institution of man's imagination, but it is ordained of God for his service. And it is our necessary obedience to institute it among men according to the Lord's dictates and honor it with the utmost reverence and respect. It is a place to worship the Lord as the disciples did in the boat when Jesus walked on water. And so, again, the first time they said, what manner of man is this that can calm the seas? The second time they worshiped and said, thou art the Son of God. They realized, you know, the second time, this is God. This is God. So now, Roman numeral 4 in your notes, Jesus praised a few people for their faith, but not Peter. Jesus prayed 2 Gentiles for their faith in the scriptures. He praised the Syrophoenician woman, she was a Canaanite, means she was a Gentile, who called upon Jesus to heal her daughter. And she came to Jesus in his ministry and said, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice she worshipped him. The Bible points that out. She worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. But he, and she called him son of David, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. We would take that as an insult. But you know, in Gentiles knew that they were called dogs by the Jews. The Jews called the Gentiles dogs. And she knew what Jesus was saying here. That the Jews were so high-minded at that period of time. They were full of pride. They thought, you know, we're the children of God. And Jesus came to bring salvation not to the Jew only, but to the Gentile. Hallelujah. And we got a Gentile church because I don't think there's a Jew in the room. I may be wrong. Oh, really? Hallelujah. Got some Jewish blood. But most of the churches across the world are Jewish. Most of the churches across the world are Jewish. I mean, are Gentile, not Jewish. Just very few. They're rare. A Jewish church in Israel is absolutely the rarest thing. Very hard to find a Jewish church in Israel. And so she says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from my master's table. I think of my dog and the crumbs that I feed him. She understood this. The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She just made that little phrase. And look what Jesus says. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That appears in two Gospels. We have it here in Matthew, and I didn't mark it down. I don't remember the other Gospel. It's in one of the other Gospels. The other Gentile that Jesus prays was a centurion who requested Jesus to heal his grievously sick beloved servant. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He was so humbled, he says, Master, Jesus, Savior, God, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. And he says, oh, I know that you can just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. And the part I didn't put in your text, but he says, I have men that serve me and I tell them to go here or go there and bring this back and do this. And they listen to me and honor me. And he knows that there are those in the heavens that serve Jesus, that he is a great authority, and that the angels in the heavens serve Jesus and bid his doing. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That appears in two Gospels. Again, we have somebody where Jesus said, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, oh, thou of little faith, didn't he, when he was walking on the water? Roman numeral 5, you're on page 6, top of page 6. What lesson is embedded in this story? Well, we have Peter, the permissive will. Now, let me just back up for a minute. When did Peter get praised? Do you remember when Peter got praised? There was an incident in the scriptures when Peter got praised. Do you remember that incident at all, anybody? Right. He identified Jesus as Christ. When he said, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? And Jesus said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praised Peter. But he didn't praise Peter here on the boat. So what lesson is embedded in this story? Well, the permissive will of God versus the perfect will of God. Stepping out of the boat was a lesson on God's permissive will. God's perfect will for Peter was to stay in the boat, because what did Jesus say? He constrained them to get in the boat to go to the other side. Was Jesus going to uphold that commandment? Was he going to see them through? He wasn't going to let them sink. So this was God's permissive will to let him come out of the boat. Again, keep that in the back of your mind. The boat, the ark, the ship is a picture of the church. Peter was one of the first disciples called by Jesus. In every list of all the disciples, the 12 disciples, Peter always appeared at the top of the list. His name was always at the top of the list. He was the one that preached on the day of Pentecost. So he had a position of authority. The day of Pentecost, when the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was the most outspoken on that particular day. He was part of Jesus' inner circle, inner core of disciples that Jesus called upon When he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, he only took three disciples, Peter, John, and James. So he was part of that inner core. He and John are the only disciples that ran to the sepulcher when Mary told the disciples that Jesus, that the grave was empty. It was John and Peter that ran to the sepulcher. So John was a fisherman, right? John was a fisherman, his brother was a fisherman, Peter was a fisherman and his brother. So they were co-fishermen together. They knew each other there in the Sea of Galilee. So John and Peter were relatively close. How come John doesn't mention anything about Peter getting out of the boat? Remember, Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. It was him. Chapter 2, almost the whole chapter is Peter preaching. And John did not write about Peter getting out of the boat. If that was a great act of faith, getting out of the boat, why didn't John write about it? I learned this, and I told you last week. You'll hear multiple sermons repeated over and over again saying, oh, Peter had great faith getting out of the boat. I heard one sermon in my life by a preacher at a preacher's conference in Columbus, Ohio, Dr. Manus's church in Columbus, Ohio. I heard a preacher teach this exact lesson that I'm teaching you today. And he said, Peter was wrong for getting out of the boat because the story has a greater meaning to it. It has a embedded message here. Again, remember, the boat is the church. Nevertheless, Peter's faith was lacking that day in the storm. Okay? He was bellyaching. He was crying. He was in fear. And I'm telling you, I know the fear when you're in a storm at sea. I understand that fear and paralyzation you get from fear. That was one of my scariest moments, was in a storm at nighttime in the ocean, in a 40-foot sailboat. Nevertheless, Peter's faith was lacking that day in the storm, which faith was surely lacking just prior to seeing Jesus walking on the water. Peter was laden with fear, just like the rest of the disciples. Peter getting out of the boat was not a wasted event that had no significance, but on the contrary, it was for our edification, to show us that we alone cannot negotiate the storms of life ourselves. The storm's ferociousness will quickly cast doubt and fear in one's mind, and numbing them to be ineffective overcomers. What is that saying? This is the ark, right here. The church is the ark. You and I cannot individually exist in this world outside the church, because we're to help each other, encourage one another, sharpen. And just like Peter took his eyes off of Jesus almost in a split second and started sinking, you'll take your eyes off of Jesus in the storm, in the battle, in difficulties in your life, and you too will sink and fall from your faith. The church is the necessary thing. And what the sad thing is, the Bible says in the end times that there will be a great falling away, when people should be in the church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The church is important. It is the boat that helps us float through the storms. And Jesus is in the boat. He's going to make sure we get to the other side. What's the other side? Glory land. It's getting to the other side, not making it to the end of your life. It's making it to the kingdom. It's making it to the eternal end of your life. getting to the other side and being effective. The church is a necessary thing in this world. And every one of us would fall, just like Peter, would fall because we could not keep our eyes on Christ by ourselves. Individually, you cannot. Collectively, in the body of Christ, Christ is keeping that boat afloat, keeping his church alive. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. So the storms of the sea, even the turmoil that we're going through right now, God will uphold the church. And I'm telling you, we've never seen turmoil. We have not seen turmoil that our ancestors in the faith went through in the Inquisition and were tortured and racked and all kinds of wicked, ugly things that they did to them, and then behead them or burn them alive at the stake or throw them in a bag alive into the rivers of Europe, and they drowned. No one survived outside the ark in Noah's days. Likewise, no believer can live outside the church, but will fall from the faith and die spiritually. This emphasizes how vitally important the church is to the institution of the Christian faith. No one has enough faith to survive storms of life alone without a crew of people cheering them on through prayer and fellowship. Peter's lack of faith was requesting to step outside the boat in the first place and defy the Lord's original command to take the boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The lack of emphasis of this particular event with Peter by the other gospel writers establishes that Peter's foolish request was not one to model, but one to avoid. When Jesus teaches about faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he tells us we can move mountains or command a sycamore tree to be planted in the sea. The poor widow who cast two mites into the treasury, that was all that she had, that was all her living, the Bible says. Two mites is less than a penny today. Jesus praises her exceptional faith, and that is mentioned in two Gospels. Mary of Bethany, who poured the alabaster box of spikenard on Jesus' head and wiped his feet with her hair, is mentioned by three of the Gospel writers. Those on board worshiped Jesus and acknowledged him as the Son of God, this time instead of just marveling at his miracle. And that's the place of the church. That's what we come to do. We worship, we fellowship, and we get edification in the church.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.